It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
We are well into the first week of Lent, which means it's, well, right in the middle of basketball season. I hope your prayer and fasting and almsgiving all going well as we continue the march towards Easter. And in it is kind of interesting, all every year, Lent and Easter always, you know, coincide with the beginning of really the stretch run, the March Madness, the Final Four. So it's a good time to talk basketball. We're going to talk with Todd Licklider here in just a bit as he'll join us for our bi-weekly chat as far as college and pro basketball. The NBA All-Star break, they're in the middle of that right now. The Pacers reached the break at 33-25. A lot of people were amazed at how well this season is going, how good it's going for the Pacers. And really, it is they're way ahead of schedule. And their 33 wins at the All-Star break is really, really good. They're back to work this Friday night. They take on Atlanta. And so, like I said, we'll have more on the NBA in just a bit with Todd Licklider. High school basketball championship weekend for the girls, the state championship games, 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A this weekend in Indianapolis. And Saturday it all gets started at 10:30 in the morning with a 1A game. And then the nightcap, Zionsville's in it. They take on Warren Central, so it's Warren Central and Zionsville. That game is 8:15 Saturday. Good luck to all the girls as they try to close the season with a state championship. The boys' sectional pairings were announced this week. Just kind of running through the parochial schools. Cathedral, of course, in the 4A draw, they play in sectional 10. That game, that tournament, is at Warren Central. In the first round, the Irish take on Lawrence North. Ron Colley, of course, also in 4A, but they're in sectional 11 at Ben Davis. The Rebels open that tournament against Southport. 3A, this is going to be an interesting tournament for the local teams that we try to keep an eye on here on Catholic Radio. Guerin Catholic, they host sectional 27, and in game one, what a first-round draw, Guerin takes on Chatard. So it's Guerin Catholic against Chatard. That game next Tuesday, the 27th, at Guerin Catholic. So also in that draw is Brebeuf and Ritter. Brebeuf, they're in that sectional. They play Crispus Attucks, and Ritter gets a first-round bye, but they get the winner of Guerin Catholic and Chatard. So you'll have Guerin playing Chatard, and the winner of that game goes on to meet Ritter. So that 3A sectional at Guerin Catholic, if you're just looking for a playoff to go see, that might be the one you want to go watch. And in 2A, keep an eye on Cecina. They're in sectional 43. They take on the host school, Speedway, that game also next Tuesday. Now here we hit 60 degrees this week. So, yeah, I love basketball season, but that also makes me start thinking of the spring sports, softball and baseball and of course, golf. And it won't be long before we get to tee it up on some of your favorite golf courses in the area. One of the best, I think, is Purgatory Golf Club up in Noblesville. Always unique. Catholics always kind of look at that and say, Purgatory. How did they come up with that name? Well, that's one part of the discussion with their golf pro, John Stutt.
It's February, but February is a short month, which means we're getting closer to March, which means we're really close to golf season. Are you excited or kind of not so looking forward to it? Your time off is almost over.
This is the time of year that you've had enough rest up, recharge. You're looking forward to the weather breaking and the season starting. That February can get a little long because we're not quite there yet, but you know, I think it's realistic to hope that, you know, by early March we're out tramping around the fairways and having some fun again.
Do you guys have an open date that you're trying to hit, like what day you'd like to open?
Well, there's a lot of factors in opening up that that we look at. Typically, if we can get open in March, we're pretty pleased. That's a good year for us. But we're going to open April 1st, no matter what's going on. We'll have that date available, but we'll have to work a little bit with how well the course dries out, and you know, when's the last time we had snow, and we look at the 10-day, the 2-week forecast. You know, if it looks like there's a good strong stretch, you know, coming for a couple weeks, we'll try to capitalize that on in early March. Last year was a unique year. We had, you know, two pretty good weeks in February where was a nice little kick in.
Well, you know, April 1st is also Easter Sunday this year. So maybe you could work a deal that if they go to Mass first and somehow show some sort of sign that they just came from Mass, they get some sort of discount. Come on, can we work that deal?
I think we could certainly come up with that. Mass and around the Gulf of Purgatory, I think that seems like a natural fit, doesn't
it? It does. Now, Purgatory, there is some faith as part of part of the naming of this. I know the merchants, Tina Merchant and Mike Merchant, they could probably tell the story better, but tell me about the connection, the name Purgatory, for a golf course.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I mean, originally the golf course was drawn up and set to be named Sassafras Golf Course because there was sassafras trees on the golf course on the property when they started to build. Tina, I believe it's her uncle, maybe a great uncle, was a Catholic priest, some evening, maybe in a social setting, they came up. Someone tossed out the idea of naming the golf course Purgatory. That'd be a cool name for a golf course, and they sort of started tossing it around. I think the general idea, basically, or the connection was Purgatory is where you go to be judged, and you're punished for your good shots, and you're punished for your bad shots and rewarded for your good shots. So that's kind of where they came up with the connection to the golf course. More than a, you know, eternal torment, it was more of a, hey, you know, this is where we're gonna, if you do things right, you're gonna be rewarded. If you if you stray a little bit, there's some punishment involved. So
yeah, so it was kind of like the movie Field of Dreams for baseball. Like the one people are playing here, they say, is this heaven? No, it's Purgatory.
Yeah, exactly. I've always joked with Mike and Tina, the owners, you know, we could build another golf course on the left of us here. We could have, you know, heaven, Purgatory, and then hell on one side or the other with how difficult the golf courses would be. But you know, it's been a fun thing. You know, most people get a kick out of the idea, and certainly helps in name recognition.
Yeah,
I don't know of another golf course named Purgatory. I do remember hearing over the years people mentioning that at one time, I don't know if there still is, there was a ski resort in Colorado maybe that was named Purgatory. Okay. But other than that, I think we're maybe the original.
Very unique. John Stutz, he's the golf pro at Purgatory Golf Club in Noblesville, also a parishioner at Our Lady of Grace in Noblesville.
Correct.
Help me understand this. How are you? How do you work your Catholic faith into being a golf pro? That must take some real work, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm a converted Catholic. I grew up as a Methodist, but the thing that's really been beneficial for me is it's taken in that Saturday evening or Sunday evening Mass. Works out pretty well for me because I can. It's harder to get away in the mornings. And in the busier times of the year, but typically by the end of the day, it's slowing down enough that I can make that a priority and get that done. So that's worked well. But you know, obviously, you know, faith's important in every aspect of your life. But you know, as a golf guy, it's been a big help, and you know, it's been a support system. It's fun to, you know, it's amazing to me every time I go in how many parishioners I see that are golfers that maybe I don't know real well, but definitely recognize from being at the golf course. And you know, golf's is a giving game, you know, with fundraising and charitable aspects of it. So I think that's always been a nice connection.
Yeah. Well, you kind of teed it up there real quickly. We can let the cat out of the bag. We're trying to put together a golf tournament here for September 24th. This year, 2018, September 24th, we're going to call it the Wilhampton for Noblesville Purgatory Pro-Am. A Pro-Am, the pros are going to play with the amateurs, and it's an opportunity to not only have a good time, maybe help raise some money for the golf profession, but also for the firefighters of Noblesville. So it's a win-win coming up on September 24th here at Purgatory.
Yeah, that's exciting. We're excited to be the host of the inaugural one, and I think that the charitable aspect of golf is something that is a huge arm of it. I mean, I don't know what the number would be in Indiana alone, but the revenue that's raised throughout the schools and you know the junior leagues and the different aspects of, you know, the bigger, larger charitable things you think of with breast cancer and all that kind of thing. It's a huge aspect. I think I saw on TV the other day where the PGA Tour gives away more in 1 year in charitable giving than all the other sports combined,
wow,
which is a huge number.
Yeah.
And I think that's carried over. It's a good mix. It's a good opportunity for people to get out and enjoy a nice afternoon with friends. And hopefully the pro-am aspect of it will be something that's maybe a little unique for some this year, with adding the pros to the group and giving them an opportunity to some guys haven't played with one or get a tip here or there, or the shamble format I think is exciting. Gives everybody a chance to kind of contribute and be part of the team, but without the pressure of of being the sole guy. So it's looking forward to it, and I think it'll be a great day.
Yep, it's coming up September 24th. John Stutz, Golf Pro. You're helping us, and also, of course, Sam Foley, local golf pro teaching legend, is going to help us with this event too, right?
Yeah, Sam is an Indiana guy and certainly a golf guy that will recognize with a lot of the golfers out there and good player and great teacher and fun guy to be around, more importantly. So I think with all the connections he has, and hopefully with some of the connections you and I have, we'll have a huge field and a great day.
Let's tee it up.
Okay, sounds great.
So that, again, September 24th, that's the date for the Pro-Am that we're going to have out at Purgatory, raising money for the golf profession and also for the Fallen Firefighters Fund in Noblesville. So September 24th. If you want information on that at all, just hit me on my personal email, which is whampton5@gmail.com, whampton5@gmail.com. And hey, we can't, when we're talking golf, what, May 22nd, Jim, that's the big golf outing here for Catholic Radio Indy, and it's time to get your team for that and get ready to tee it up on May 22nd for the Catholic Radio Indy golf outing. Well, we're going to take a break. I know, enough golf. Come on, Will. It's February. It's basketball season. And so Todd Licklider will join us next to catch us up on college and pro basketball when Catholic Sports Weekly continues.
Hi, this is Archbishop Charles Thompson of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. There are thousands of cities all over this country, but by far the majority of them are not served by a Catholic radio station. In this area, we are fortunate to have three stations. They are a great way for each of us to learn more about our faith and for non-Catholics to discover the beauty of our Catholic Church. Please pray for this station, and if you can, please support it financially.
You know, there's nothing quite like the smell of a brand new car to excite your senses. And nothing quite like the looks of a not-so-new, no-longer-driven car to excite your neighbors and your spouse. Why not turn your unwanted car, truck, boat, or RV into a generous gift to Catholic Radio? We'll arrange everything for you, even if it doesn't run. All it takes is a phone call to 317-870-8400 or a quick trip to our website, catholicradioindy.org. So think about that vehicle, and think about your neighbors and your spouse, and then think about Catholic Radio and how we'll be able to take your vehicle, regardless of condition, and turn it into cash to help keep this radio station on the air. It's easy to donate a vehicle. We'll handle everything for you, even pick up the vehicle and tow it if necessary. Just call us at 317-870-8400 or visit catholicradioindy.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm your host, Will Hampton, and it's always my pleasure to say hi to our basketball analyst, Todd Licklider. Coach Licklider, now scout with the Boston Celtics organization. Coach, how you doing in middle February? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Will. How about you?
Doing well. You know, I'm sure you're getting on the road a lot and seeing lots of college basketball teams. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But first, let's talk a little bit about the NBA. They're coming out, and they're right in the middle, I guess, of their All-Star break, almost over. If the playoffs were held today, which I'm sure you as a coach, you'd love that when they say that, when it's so hypothetical. But the East would be the Raptors, the Celtics, the Cavs, the Wizards, the Pacers, and at the fifth seed right now, the Bucks, the 76ers, and the Heat. So I tell you, the Raptors, they hit the break on a 7-game winning streak. So it's going to be a battle all the way to the end of the season for this whole Eastern Conference, isn't it?
Oh, I think so, and it has been the last few years. Now, Cleveland, obviously, is at the top, but, it's been really good series. And and I anticipate it will again. I tell you, the series is so different than the NCAA when matchups are important, and you only in the NCAA tournament, you only have to be better than that team that particular night.
Yeah.
You know, and in this series, and home and away, I think the consistency of play is so vital, and it's difficult, you know, once it's been established. And so I think they're fun to watch. I had the opportunity to go out last year for the fifth game in Boston with Cleveland, and that was it wasn't a particularly good game for Boston, but it was a fun environment and incredible, you know, just experience.
Yeah, but I know when we last talked a couple of weeks ago, I think we're right at the end of the trade deadline, and then after that, the Cavs made all those moves. Well, it was just two moves. It feels like a lot, but there were a lot of players involved. It was actually just two moves that changed their whole dynamic of their roster. And I know it's hard for you to speak individually about other players on other teams, but it was neat to see IUPUI's George Hill get a chance to come back into the fray, and now George is playing for the Cavs, and he adds a different element, doesn't he? A long guy who can play some defense at the point.
Well, George has had a great career. He's a young man that, you know, we followed from high school, and as all of us did in the area. And, you know, he's been so productive. And he had a great quote about, you know, understanding your role there. You know, a few years back, I happened to be an assistant at Miami of Ohio, and that's where Ron Harper played.
Yep.
Ron Harper, he had just almost every role in the NBA. When you think about it, when he came out, he was, you know, at the highest level, and then he became sort of a role player. And he played all of them so well, and he talked about how fitting together in Chicago with Jordan and Pippen and everybody knowing who their role, how important that was. And it was so well received. And I thought, you know, it was interesting. He said it didn't matter what your position was perceived to be on the team, you got the same ring as everybody else when you won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had the same amount of rings as Pippen and Jordan and so on. And I thought, isn't that true? Isn't that the beauty of basketball? And so it's interesting to watch people put teams together, like what Cleveland made the move, to see how who they bring in and how those individuals complement one another. And I thought George Hill had a great quote about that, just saying, you know, we're basically following LeBron.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's the beauty of team. And people say, hey, be a star in your role. Whatever it is you're asked to do, be a star in that. And it's kind of a hard concept, but one that that we appreciate when we see teams come together. And you know this, Will, I had just a tremendous experience at Butler with that sort of mindset.
Yeah. Talking with Todd Licklider, he's our basketball analyst here at Catholic Sports Weekly. And yeah, you mentioned that, and that goes a lot about what we talk about on this show, about character and about a guy's mental makeup and how he fits into the team. It tells a story about the kind of kids you want to recruit, doesn't it? I mean, because like you said, not everybody can be LeBron James, but everybody can be themselves. And it's hard for a kid that, you know, maybe is 17 to 20 in that range. It's hard to know that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and I think some of it is because you're not always appreciated for it. Coaches that have experienced it and people who have seen, they appreciate people fulfilling a role, and that's what I said at Butler. You kind of knew the guys that were on the court, getting the minutes, mm-hmm. making plays, scoring points. Those guys' names you heard a lot. But I thought really what put us over the top were the what you would consider your 9 through 14 player or whatever it would be position, because they're the ones that came to practice. They're the ones that contributed. They're the ones that made the other guys better, and they were the ones that were we had one young man by the name of Marcus Nellums who I just absolutely loved him. He gave us great minutes on the court, but his role, his mother told him, be the glue.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what a great comment. be the guy that holds people together. And so I think that's really important in team, and I think we should appreciate those guys a lot that make sacrifices, because we all need to do that.
Yeah, and I know we have a lot of parents who listen to this show, and I think they could be such a key factor in it, isn't it? Because it's hard. I admit it's hard as a dad. You think your son or your daughter ought to be the star, and you may be putting things in their heads that you shouldn't. And I sound like a guy who's guilty, don't I? But that's what's hard, isn't it?
Having, you don't want to sell your son short or your daughter short. You want to help them strive to be the best they can. And
how do you walk that line, though? How do you walk that line for parents that are listening to try to help a kid be the glue?
Well, I think that's probably a tough role. And one of the things that I've talked about is so often now the focus is on the young person getting a scholarship. Mm-hmm. And I think back of when I played and the people – we really played for the love of the game and then thought the scholarship would come after.
Yeah.
And I'd like to encourage parents to let their young people, let their children pursue their love, their passion, encourage them, support them, and see what happens. Because I think that your motivation is, the purer your motivation, the better you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. Who have you seen lately as far as college teams that you think last week Jim Barber was on our show, and he does a lot of play-by-play, and he said Cincinnati is a team that, well, before then nobody was really talking much about them. Now they are.
That's interesting. Yeah. I've enjoyed watching them and following. I've known Mick Cronin and Larry Davis and those guys for a lot of years, and their staff, and I enjoy watching them play, and they compete so hard. And so I think Jim's right, and that they're a nice team. I've enjoyed. I tell you, somebody said to me, "You seem more relaxed." Well, you know, you go and watch the game, enjoy the play, and go home, and don't replay it all the time way you did as a coach. But you know, I've been fortunate and have been able to go up to Purdue, and Matt has those guys playing really well, and the way the Big Ten is, it's so competitive that they've had a couple of close losses. Well, for the most part, they've played terrific all year, and they played good in those games too. It's just one of those things where their opponent was good.
Yeah.
And Chris Holtmann, I've said this, the transition was a lot smoother because I think Thad Matta really laid a foundation. He's a great coach and a great person. And he had everything in place, and Chris just picked up, and Chris has done a very good job
sure
at Ohio
has, yeah.
State, and he's a terrific coach. But I think the transition was smooth, and I've heard him mention that.
So overall, you see those teams, you know, the guys like a Purdue, Ohio State, of course Cincinnati, they're all kind of marching towards that, you know, the tournament time, and this is an important time for development still, isn't it?
It is, and it's interesting. You mentioned earlier if the playoffs started today, you see so much now as far as seeding in the NCAA, and then the next week it's like no, they're not number one seed anymore. The deal is there's a lot of basketball left to play, honestly, and it won't matter until the very end, and then the seeding will become important where you're at and your matchup. And I always thought that was huge, and we got some good matchups when I was at Butler, and I thought my last year at Butler we were one of the I thought we could be a Final Four team, but our matchup in the Sweet 16 is Florida, which was the best team in the nation. So you know, if you're in another bracket, maybe you get to advance a little bit further. So it just and then conversely, if you get the right matchup too. I honestly thought our matchup with Louisville, you know, 3 was a good matchup for us because of the way they played and our strength.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff.
They were really talented, but it just so you know, it just happened that it was the right right opponent for us.
Yeah, so much of it's out of your control. It has to be where they put you and all that. So, Coach, again, thank you. I appreciate
it. It's exciting to be involved, I'll tell you that.
It sure is, yep. Well, we'll talk again here in a couple weeks, and in a couple weeks we'll be right on the doorstep to March Madness, and probably in the middle of it. So we'll see what goes on. And again, Coach, thank you, and God bless you and your family. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks, Will. Take care.
That's Todd Licklider. We're going to take a break. Catholic Sports Weekly continues after this timeout.
Catherine was surprised to be pregnant in college, but felt happy to welcome a child. Hi, Kim Catola for Cradle My Heart today. But she was forced to abort. She immediately suffered sadness and emptiness and says she coped with that loss by becoming the world's greatest feminist. She got her degree in women's studies, marched to D.C. to support abortion on demand, and started working at Planned Parenthood as an abortion counselor. But Catherine reached a turning point when called to assist with a second trimester abortion. The truth exposed, she began to see that mother and child are one. And she pursued her healing through faith in Jesus Christ and became just as passionate today to help other women to make a better choice. You can help save women and babies from abortion. Join us as we partner with preborn.com to provide an ultrasound for a woman in need for just $28. Visit preborn.com today or dial #250 and say keyword baby to save babies and souls today.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and helped the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Thank you again for listening to Catholic Sports Weekly. We're glad to bring it to you each and every week, and looking forward to high school boys sectionals. It all gets started next Tuesday. So enjoy yourself. Go watch your favorite team play and be a good sport, right? God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you next week on Catholic Sports Weekly.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.